Kuf, the third paragraph. Hine shloisha achalokim. Afa bisho amartim lecha beklolim tzarim, even though I said them to you in small klolim. In charaya shehem kailolim peulais, rabbis and peulais ha'adam. You see that they're kailol, many different actions. In a person's activities. I already said to you that the pratim can't be given over unless with shikul hadas, balance, thought. To straighten them out, you know, like by comparing them, by measuring them by the yashrus of the klal and its truth. Perek Tesvav. B'darche knias ha-prishus. So until now we talked about the types of prishus. We talked about what prishus is. Then we talked about the types of prishus, parts of prishus. And now we're going to talk about how to become a prish. Hine. Haderech ha-muvcher l'knoises ha-prishus hu. The best way to acquire precious is sheyistakel ba'adam begrius tarnuga yisraelam hazeh ubchisus hamitzad atzmam, that a person should look at the lowliness of the pleasures of this world and how small they are by themselves mitzad atzmam. The horois hagedoyles shekroivos livolid mehen, and the terrible evils that are easy to come from them. What turns a person's nature to feel a tshuka, to feel a desire for these pleasures, so much so that a person needs so much strength and so much trickery, so much plans to separate himself from them. But what got him into that mess to begin with, is the eyes seduce him. Haniftim b'marei hadvar, that their eyes are convinced, that they're drawn by seeing the things, asher hu tov v'orev l'cheri, that look like they're good and sweet. Hu ha-pitoy shegoram l'cheta rishon sheyeyoseh. This is the pitoy that caused the first chet to happen. Ke'edus ha-kosev, like the pasuk testifies. Matera ha-isha ki tov ha-eitz l'macho v'chisa v'hu lo'inayim v'nechmat ha-eitz l'haskel, is all what the isha saw in the tree, she's in the fruit. She saw how good the fruit is. She saw how delicious it looked, and that caused right away. Vatikach mi piryo vatoichal. Aval kisheyizbar el ha'adam hayoyis ha'toyv ahu koizev legamri. But after it becomes clear to a person that this toiv is fake, meduma imagined ubeli shum hasmada nechayna, without any correct consistency. There's nothing consistently good about it. The horaboy, on the other hand, the evil in these tanugim is amiti, is true, oikorei lehivolei mimeno be'emes, and is easy to come from it. Vadai sheyimatzboi, certainly he'll be disgusted by it. V'lo yirtzehu klal, and he wouldn't want it at all. Al kein zehu kol halimu shetzorach. Therefore, this is the whole limud that a person needs. Sheyalamei ta'odem esichle, that a person should teach his seichel. Lahakir b'chulshas ha'ta'anugim ha'ela v'shikram, to recognize the weakness of these ta'anugim and their falsehood. Ad shemei elov yim'as b'am, until by him, by itself, he'll be mayas in them. V'lo yikshe b'einav l'shalcha me'ita, and it won't be difficult for him to send them away from him. A very, very loaded paragraph. I'll break down to three parts. Three important yusaidis that we see from this burial. Very, very important yusaidis. The first thing he says is that the way to reach precious is that a person should think about the griyos ta'anugai sa'ilam hazeh. the lowliness of the pleasures of this world. Difficult topic, but it's something that I think at various times it becomes very, very clear to a person. There are times, it's hard to go into too many pratim, but there are times that a person finds himself, for one reason or another, completely removed from a certain type of taiva. Try to think of a mashal. Take a pasha to Marshall. Let's say in the middle of the Ila on Yom Kippur, person walks out of the Beis Medrash, and he sees that there's someone that couldn't hold themselves back, they had to eat something. We're not, most people, as much as we're tremendous Baalei Taiva, and as much as we can't control ourselves a lot of times for a lot of things, but in the middle of Yom Kippur, we don't have an uncontrollable Taiva to eat that we can't control. As a matter of fact, it's so much so that for many people, when Yom Kippur comes, it's not that they'll tell a person, I understand your struggle, I understand what's pulling, I understand the struggle, but you know, you have to be Mizgaber. We don't understand the struggle. We don't understand it. What's the Nisayan? I'm talking about for a regular from person. We don't understand the Nisayan. Kashut. Of course, you don't eat on Yom Kippur. It's not a Nisayan. It's of course not worth eating. And as much as the food might look delicious, mouth-watering, the mamish looks delicious, it doesn't even occur to us in our reality that we can actually put it in our mouth. And this is the most Pashut Yid, maybe especially the most Pashut Yid. It's like this. It won't, no matter how big, how delicious it is, how moishich it is, a person in Yom Kippur morning passes by the most delicious restaurant in the world, and he doesn't have a havamin in the world to go in. He's misulik from that taiva completely. Such a time, Lamashal, there are better mishalim, but I can't say them in Rabbim. Such a time, a person would, at such a point in time, a person would see another yid being nichshol and eating on Yom Kippur, you're full of disgust. Full of mias. What are you doing? You're giving away your whole life for a piece of chicken. What are you doing? It's mamish like, you see, you feel right away, that for a piece of food to put in your mouth, you're giving away your whole Yom Kippur. It makes a person nauseous, it makes you sick. The emes is, and this is something that we first have to believe before we could feel, that every single physical taiva that we have, and that we indulge in, is be'etzem in and of by itself, and those are the words that he says there, mitzad atzmam, in and of by itself, is nothing. And the raya is, there's a few rayas. The raya is that, first of all, one of the big differences between Gashmias and Ruchnias is that the more you indulge in Gashmias, the less excited you are by it, and the more you indulge in Ruchnias, the more you're excited by it. Why is that? Someone, mamish, I think of a mashal. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, so my wife got a recipe for apple turnovers, and she used to make the dough by herself. Now, we didn't live in America where you could go into the grocery and buy neatly cut pieces of dough. She made the dough herself, she flattened it out, she would cut up apples, she would cook it with cinnamon and sugar and all kinds of things, she would put it in the middle, she would make a triangle out of it and a design and sugar on top. She made apples and it was delicious, mamish delicious. So she made it once for Shabbos, mamish, we ate it, we used it up Friday night already. She made it a second time for Shabbos, she made it a third time for Shabbos. And then we decided, it was almost Purim, we decided, you know what, we'll give them out for Shalach Manas. So we stayed up night after night before Purim. I have pictures of my house of me making apple turnovers. We stayed up night after night making tons and tons of apple turnovers for Purim. So of course we didn't use up all of them. We had a nice amount left over Purim day. I don't think it would be a guzma to say that my stomach still turns over at the sight of an apple turnover. It was just too much. Too much apple turnovers. I can't handle it anymore. I just can't anymore. I'll give you another mashal. This is a great mashal. Those of us who like to buy cookies from the machine, cookies, brownie bars, danishes from the machine. So we buy it because we're starving. But it's here in Yeshiva. We don't have 15 groceries and pizza shops and ice cream stores and restaurants around. We have one thing, Heshikan's candy machine. That's what we have over here. So out of desperation, every day we end up buying the same cookie, the same brownie, every day. Some people twice a day or three times a day. And that's how, well, I've had this experience. Tell me, maybe I'm the only one. That if I'm Ben Azmanim, I'm in New York, and it's Ben Azmanim, and I'm shopping KDS, Moshe's discount supermarket, someplace. I'm shopping in a store in New York, and I see one of those Reisman's jumbo cookies. I'm like, I can't even look at it. It's b'chlal not appealing at that time. There's a lot of other choices to choose from. But when I'm sitting by Seder, the amazing thing is that when I'm sitting by Seder, I cannot concentrate on the Gemara. I cannot get out of my head a jumbo cookie. I cannot get it out of my head. It's an amazing thing how we switch gears like that. It's amazing. During this month, when there's 2 feet of snow outside and I can't move, and it's freezing and I'm sitting by Seder, so then just like a soda and a cookie, it's like I start drooling at the thought. I can't concentrate on whether should I get it, shouldn't I get it, should I get it, shouldn't I get it. But then I could be in a store, a week after Pesach at home, a week after Pesach, you know, and chametz is still a fresh thing by me, but still. And I see those brownie bars and that thing, and I'm like, try not to, like, look at it too much. Like, I don't, you know, that's not a sign of something that's inherently good. It's not a sign of something that's inherently geschmack. It's just... And everything is like that. Everything is like that. All Tanugi Olam Hazeh are like that. That's one raya. That's one proof. The other proof is, and this you have to be honest with yourself to know that this is a true thing. It takes a little honesty. The other proof is that nothing ends up, I'm using food as a mushroom, so the Sharm uses it as a mushroom, but it's true about everything. Nothing ends up tasting as good as it looked before. Nothing. Nothing. If you're honest with yourself. Sometimes people's kayach hadimyon is so stark that even after they finish eating, they still have a kayach hadimyon. They're medama the whole thing to themselves. But nothing ends up afterwards tasting or the experience being as geschmack as originally planned. It's never that way. A ruchnis is the opposite. A ruchnis, quite often, a person before he gets involved in a ruchnis experience can't possibly imagine how geschmack it will really be. We'll see tomorrow. He continues later on in the perek to say a person could spend mamish. I tell you, today I called up the Chaim Berlin office to register. I'm going to go to the dinner. Chaim Berlin's dinner is Sunday night. I'm not going to be here, by the way. I decided to go there. Anyway, I really should go every year, and especially this year they're honoring Avraham Fruchthandler, and he's such a big supporter of our yeshiva, so I felt like I should go. So yeah, I called them, I spoke to people in the office, and they signed me up, I got a seat. I'm telling you, I'm already excited. I'm already excited, it's geschmack. Geschmack, fancy dinner, fancy place, geschmack. So you feel like such a thing, I imagine I'm probably not the only one. Probably not the only one that looks forward to a geschmack or a smorgasbord or something like that. I imagine that I'm not the only one. If people could spend days before just looking forward, two people could be getting married. One guy is a wealthy guy, one guy is not a wealthy guy. People look forward to the wealthy guy's chasen 20 times more. Just because they want to be mesameachim, but also because the food is very gishmak. And they're looking forward to that. They're looking forward to a fancy hall, a fancy open bar. They're looking forward to it. And we look forward, and we look forward, and we look forward. And then it comes mamish, the shas maisa, the time of the indulgence itself, and we eat, and it's taka gishmak, and everything tastes good, and we go home. I won't get into all the physical ailments that hit us afterwards. And we go home, and the next day we wake up, and again, we waited a week for this. And it was really gishmak at the time. And we wake up the next morning, and what do we have? We have nothing. Not less than nothing, but we have nothing. Nothing, we're left with nothing. It's amazing. So much cheshek, so much pulling, and we're left with nothing. There's nothing left after that. It's true with everything. It's true with a movie. A person could be a person. I'm not talking about us, but a person could be here. He heard about a certain movie. It's mamash a gishmaka movie. It's mamash, and he's waiting for days and days and days to see it. He's mamash waiting for days. I have a good mashal. Harry Potter, not the movie, the book. So. People, I don't know if you guys remember, but people registering to get the book months before, paying money in advance, so that the day the book comes out, they should be able to buy it. They don't want to wait for the soft cover to come out, which would be a tenth of the price, because they push it, can't wait. They have to find out what's going on in this imaginary world that doesn't exist. They must find out now, and so they have to get the first printing, the first day. They have to read it immediately. It's mamish alachatz, mamish alachatz, and someone gets on, he goes online and he registers with Barnes & Noble or someplace. He registers that he's going to get from the first copies as it comes in on midnight or whatever night it was, as it comes in. And he waits by the door of the place, so he gets it mailed to his house, and he's waiting with anticipation. He has to, mamish, he has to read this book. And then he gets the book and life stops. All meetings are canceled. Every important thing is pushed aside. He doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't talk to anyone until he reads the book twice. And he goes through the whole book. And I'm not talking about one person or two, I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people doing this. And then they finish the book, and then what? And then what? What? Nothing. Go on, try to find the next diver. That's not a sign of anything with mamashes, it's mamashesless. It's nothing. It's a distraction. It's a pleasant feeling for a time. It's amazing. So that's the first thing to realize, and it's much, much, much more than I can say now. Much, much, much more to realize that there's an inherent nothingness to all of our gashmistic pleasures. And that's what he was meramez when he says bitzaratzvon, because of course when we use it for kevas alekim, when we use it for a good purpose, when we use it for something positive and constructive, then it's a very good tool. But if you're not going to build a house, you don't need a hammer. Just to have a hammer, you're not building a house, there's no point in that. We have a hammer so we can build with it. That's the first thing, first important you say. The second important thing that he mentions such strong words. This, that a person's teva is drawn towards pleasures, until so much so that he needs tachbulos, such hard tricks. La'ilam ye'adam arum bi'ira. A person needs all kinds of trickery and plans to be able to uproot himself from his being sunk into this world, is because of the pitoy ha'inayim, because of what we see. That's amazing, the power of what we see, and I don't think that we realize how strong it is. Once a person sees something, once a person sees whatever it is, a person passes by. Ask anybody in the advertising business; they'll tell you what I'm saying is 100% true. This is the foundation of the advertising business in this country. To display the taiva. Person passes by a bakery and he sees some delicious cake in the window, he can't get it out of his mind because he saw it. Or you see somebody eating something. Mamish, sometimes even the littlest thing, maybe I'm the only one, but you see a person eating an ice cream. I was in Brooklyn for Shabbos, I discovered that there's kosher ice cream in the world. And you see a person eating ice cream, and you push it hours later, you can't get out of your head. Maybe I should go for an ice cream. Maybe I should get an ice cream. It looked delicious. Maybe I should get an ice cream. But if you hadn't seen it, wouldn't you know that there's such a thing called ice cream? You see somebody, how many times did it happen? You see somebody eating pizza, you're like, oh, maybe I should go for pizza. Or someone said, would you like a piece of cake? And you said, no thanks. And then he started eating the cake, and you're like, you know what, maybe I will take a piece of cake. Because it's when you see someone else eating something, it's ma'arba, you want to eat it also. How many times that happens? What happened? You didn't know there was such a thing as a piece of cake until the other person started eating cake? Until you saw somebody eating a steak sandwich, you forgot that there's such a thing as steak in the world? What happened? It's a kasha. It's mamash a kasha. What happens? What happens that when you see something, suddenly you can't get it out of your head? This is the answer. There's some kayach. I heard this b'shem the Gro on a couple of years ago. I heard Rav Erlanger from the Mir in Yeshiva say over b'shem the Gro that there's two types of yetzaharas that we have. There's an inner yetzahara that drives us away from Hashem. And then there's a yetzahara that comes mibachutz. What's the yetzahara mibachutz? It comes from things that we see. Once we see something from outside, it's a much, much, much stronger. It's like we have two yetzaharas. We have the inside pushing and the outside pulling. It's a very, very hard yetzahara. If we were able to not focus, not see things that draw us towards taiva, towards olam hazeh, we'd be in a lot better shape to be able to conquer our yetzaharas. A lot better shape. When you get a little older, you'll see, you go to a beautiful house, suddenly you're like, what should I do in my house, you know? Maybe I should do some work in my house. This person, Mamash, has a beautiful house. Well, you didn't know before you entered, there's such a thing called a beautiful house. Before you went to this guy's house, you had no idea such a thing called a beautiful house. You drive in someone's very, very fancy car. You start thinking to yourself, I think maybe I need a new car. I was thinking of getting a new car. Well, you didn't know until you went to your friend's car that's actually called a fancy car. Forgot? There's something about experiencing, about seeing it, that's mamish magdil, the kayach, the cheshik for it so much that it almost becomes uncontrollable. That's an important thing to know, because even when it happens, we have to realize it's just because I saw it. I'm from Waterbury. I don't ever see restaurants. So well, I was in New York for Shabbos. I was there yesterday also. You actually could walk down streets of Flatbush and be like, I don't know what to do. I have to go for milk and flatbushes because Chafanesh and Jerusalem too are right across the street from each other. Like, just like seeing the place, you're like, hey, maybe I should go in there. But then you see another place, maybe I should go in there. Just like seeing the place, just seeing it. People walking out with their boxes of pizza. You see, it's like gives you this idea. When I was sitting in the house, I didn't know that there was such a thing called a pizza shop. I also knew there's such a thing. But somehow seeing it draws you to it. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. That's the second yisoid that we learn from the Sils Yisharim. The third yisoid we have the least time for, and it's the most important yisoid. I'll see you. Maybe we'll continue it tomorrow. And that's like this. We know it's very, very important to try to separate ourselves from seeing things that arouse our taivas. I'm using food, but we all understand that there's all kinds of taivas that vision pulls us towards. So we say to ourselves like this, I'm trying not to see, I try not to look, but what can you do? We live in this country, we see a lot of things. And then I'm stuck. This is Yosef Sharm is machadish to us, that even when I'm seeing things that I shouldn't see, there's still a mahalach in Avodas Hashem. Ba'ayinus, if it's beratzen, then something has to be worked on. But Ba'ayinus, I'm talking about, there's still a mahalach in Avodas Hashem. Lahakir b'chulshas ha'ta'anugim ha'elah v'shikram. If we could teach ourselves, and it doesn't happen in a day, and it doesn't happen in a month, it happens over time. If we could teach ourselves how nothing, how unimpressive it is. I heard of Pinchas Breuer, he once spoke in the Kol that I was learning in. He spoke before Hanukkah. And he came from where did he come from? England, someplace. He came to be a rav in New York. So he said he was invited to a dinner in Manhattan. One of the first few weeks he was in America, and he went to Manhattan, and he said it was just overwhelmed. He opened the door and got out to get into this fancy place wherever it was where they were having the dinner. He says, and his lashon was just it was just. Uh, It was just amazing to hear. He says, something like, all the schmutz in the world was sparkling at me. And that's, if you think about it, that's what it is. Everything sparkles and shines and seems so enticing. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Ask anyone who's been there. There's nothing there. There's something about the Yetzer Hara does this, and those who are shluchim of the Yetzer Hara are very, very good at banking on this. There's a fantasy part of us, there's an imaginative part of us, that through all kinds of suggestive ways, of all kinds of oifanim, they're able to make us think that certain things are just like so beyond, so incredible, such an experience, so amazing. There's nothing there, it's empty. There's nothing there. I remember the first time I was in a jacuzzi. You grow up, you hear about jacuzzis. You think that, like, you think that probably, who knows what? It's probably like you have to watch yourself not to pass out from pleasure. Probably it's a jacuzzi. You know, every time you pass a hotel, it tells you what kind of bathtub they have in the room. You know, it's amazing. A jacuzzi, it's an amazing thing. And I knew someone when I was young was redoing their master bedroom, and they put a bathroom with a jacuzzi. Everyone's talking about it. They put a jacuzzi in their master bathroom. It's such a big deal. Mamash, a big deal. Such a big deal. So I was on vacation. I had a jacuzzi in my hotel room. I'm like, okay, let me try it. I tried it. They're like, it's interesting. The water, instead of sitting still, it rushes around. It's very interesting. But that's all it is. It's nothing. It's just nothing. It's for sure not all it's cracked up to be. That's for sure. Unless mine was broken. It's nothing. What is it? It's nothing. It's nothing. The water has a current. Well, it's nothing. The way that it's described, you go to the lobby of a hotel and you ask them for a room. Do you want a regular room or do you want a jacuzzi room? Oh, I want a jacuzzi room. It's not, what is it? It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Do you ever see someone that had a special glow about them? He said, why do you look so happy? You're like, I was in a jacuzzi. It's nothing. It's so built up. It's so built up. It's nothing. If we can laugh like this about all the taivas that exist in the world, and we can. Some of it we can't laugh about in public. But if we can laugh about all the taivas and all the glitz and all those sparkling lights and and all the pictures and all the shows and everything, the glitz, you're making a big deal out of nothing. It's all nothing. It's a laugh. Laugh it off. It's nothing. Rav Leuchter once told me that there's different ways of dealing with the Yetzer Hara. There's battling the Yetzer Hara. That's one way of dealing with it. You battle it. You come to Melchama against it. But then it says that Yosef HaTzadik, when Eishes Potiphar tried to seduce him to be Mezana with him, it says about Yosef that he was Pitpeit B'Yitzray. Pitpeit B'Yitzray means he like laughed at his Yetzer Hara. His Yetzer Hara, he drove down Times Square and everything was pulling in every direction. He was like, I'm not impressed. He's unimpressed. He made light of it. He made it. It's nothingness. It's nothing. He realized the true essence of it. All of this is all nothing. It's all pulling in the direction of nothing. The finish line is just as nothing as the start line was. It's all nothing. The whole trick of the Yetzer Hara is the pull. He just keeps pulling, and then it takes until you're an old man, until you realize, I've just been pulled in direction. I didn't go anywhere. You suddenly realize that you're the guy who's pulling the millstone around and around and around and finds that it's not attached to anything. The whole trick of the Yetzer Hara is just to keep pulling, but it's not pulling to anywhere. And we can laugh about a jacuzzi, but it's true about everything that exists in the world, all the glitz. All the things that are moishah, we have to learn how not to look. But even if we see, we're protected, and that's what he says here. Lahaker b'cholshas ha'tanukim ha'elu b'shringim. If we can recognize the weakness, if we can recognize the falsehood of it, so then we're protected even by those things that unfortunately we're exposed to. Hine al kol elu v'adeh shalayach b'yitza adam b'dabar hazeh. Well, a person of Avada wouldn't want these things. The toiv of eating too much is not toiv. It's not really good. It doesn't last. It's not lasting. And the evil is bad. If a person would think deeply about them, he would see Sha'afilu Hatoyf Hamidum Shabahem Ainay El Isman Muat. Even the good feeling that a person has from any time that exists, the good feeling is just for that small amount of time. Isman Muat. The harash yochal lihivoled mehem kasha ve'oroich, and the bad that can come from them is difficult and long. It's a small momentary hana, and the effects are who knows what. Ad shelo yeyos l'shum bal seichel losim asmei b'sakonos arois al revach hatoyv hamuat ahu. Until it's not, doesn't make sense for any bal seichel to place himself into such bad sakonos because of the little bit of gain that he's going to get. V'zeh pashut. If a person, this is something that's against, you have to realize that it's against our instincts. Our instincts are to indulge in instant gratification, in instant hana. That's our instincts. It takes a bardas to be able to say, one second, this instant hana is going to lead to yisurim afterwards. You know, like I let's say a person is allergic to ice cream. Let's say a person can't have milk eggs, whatever. He's lactose intolerant. He's allergic to ice cream. And so he doesn't eat ice cream. But sometimes he sees it's such a delicious ice cream cone. It's so moishik to him. He just wants it so badly. It's a hot day and it's such a... that he takes the ice cream cone. And then for hours afterwards, he's in agony. And all those hours afterwards, he's just like, why didn't I realize... Like, the taste of the ice cream cone is gone. I could have survived without it. I don't have anything from it now. All I have is pain and torture now that I had this ice cream cone. And many people have this. Many people have foods that they know that they're going to regret after they eat. And they know that they're going to regret it. They're going to say, I have charata that I ate it. And they eat it going into it like that. That's not a bardas. That's not a bar seichel. But it takes time. Because Yargilas asked me. A person has to get himself used to it. The person has to do it often. The yasmid, with the consistency, the iunai, with examining alo emes hazois, hine, and the Basilis Yisharim says it doesn't happen overnight and it doesn't happen from one Musar Chabura, hine me'at me'at, slowly but surely, by thinking about these things again and again and over time and getting a perspective about it, yeitze chofshi mima'asar hasichlus, he'll break free from the bonds of foolishness. That the darkness of the physical binds him to it. And he won't be seduced from the fake seduction of these hanois. Oz yimas b'hen, then he'll take be disgusted from them. V'yeda she'ein lo lukachas min ha'olam hazeh ela ha'echrechi, and he'll know that a person should only take from ha'olam hazeh what's necessary. U'kumay shekosavti. There's another point here that's important to bring out, and this is a goal. This is something to think about as a long-term goal. Let's start with a drastic mashal. Sometimes I'll give a mashal for my mashal first. There's a person I know that I know of, I don't know him personally, that wrote, I used to read them also, I had them at the beginning of the year, he wrote some kuntresim on chinuch. And he's writing kuntresim to regular b'nei Torah, how to be mechanech their children. But almost every example that he uses is like these far-fetched examples. So he apologizes, you remember, he apologizes for it in the book. He says, I'm using far-fetched examples. I don't think that your kid is suicidal or whatever. It's not my point is that sometimes you could bring out clearly a point with a story that's drastic because the point comes out clear. And then you have to learn how to put it in subtly into the little stories in life. But sometimes you just say a little story, it doesn't bring it out clearly. So let me say something drastic. Just to start with the drastic, and then we'll get back to us. There's such a thing, as we know in the world today, a tremendous magefa, that a person could be a drug addict. What's the pshat in that? Every single person, as they're starting down the path of addiction, knows that it's not going to lead to a good place. Nobody thinks, oh, don't worry, it's gishmak, it's great, I know other addicts, they all love it. Nobody thinks that. They know that it's a terrible thing. But so whatever the different drives that are behind it, and whatever the different... Sivuvimah that makes a person become that way. But one thing that's an interesting thing He said, if you'll ask, and you could ask Keshi if his education says the same thing, and I think it does. If you'll ask people that are educated about how to deal with people with such a problem, they'll say most of the time, such a person needs to be in therapy. He needs to be seeing a psychologist, or something like that. He needs to be dealing with his issues, you know, capital I. He needs to be dealing with his issues. What's the pshat? I don't understand. The guy had drugs, as far as I know, drugs makes a person feel fantastic. What's the big kasha here? Why do I have to send him to a psychologist? There's nothing really that ingenious about it. The guy wanted to feel fantastic. What's so hard to understand? He started to feel more and more and more fantastic until he couldn't get off the drug. Why am I sending him to a psychologist? The big kasha? What's the big pillow that a guy is a drug addict? The big everybody said, no, they need to go to meetings or to therapists or to this or to that. They need to deal with it. You have to deal with it. What's the big kasha? I'll give you an example. I'm addicted to caffeine. If I don't have a coffee in the morning, my day is wrecked. I'm addicted to caffeine. So should I go to a therapist? There's nothing to talk to a therapist about. It's a very simple thing. When I was a bachur in yeshiva, I used to stay up too late. I used to come into seder the next day tired, and I used to take a coffee, so I shouldn't be so tired. That's all. In the melo, you do that every single day for a long time. You start to depend on the coffee. What's the big mystery? But someone who takes drugs, they say that pashtus 99% of the time, he has issues that he has to work out. What's the big kasha? Let him just explain to whoever he's dealing with that there's no big mystery. All it is that he wants to feel fantastic. And he wanted to feel fantastic so often that he ended up getting addicted to it. It's kasha. What's the... And Chachma Bagayim Tamin, if this is the direction that people give, and not just Gayim Yidden, that people give to people with this problem, there must be some reason behind it. The answer is like this, that when a person pushes himself to such a drastic form of filling himself with pleasure, that means that there must have been a drastic form of not satisfaction beforehand. A person who's happy with his life, a person who feels satisfied with his life, is not motivated to do something so crazy or illegal or something that's not acceptable to society. He's not motivated to do that because he's miyushif. He's settled. He's happy. Life is working out for him. He doesn't need that. He can drink a Coke and also feel gishmak. He can play basketball and also feel gishmak. He can be mechaven to a taisus and also feel gishmak. He doesn't need to go to the drastic ends of society to find something to feel gishmak. So if you find a person who, Rahman al-Atslan, fell to the drastic ends of society to do something that's illegal or it's considered mufka or it's not hashkafically acceptable, so on and so forth, to feel gishmak. So there must be something underlying that was depriving him of the natural simcha that a person is supposed to feel. There are other indications that someone doesn't have the proper simcha. I'm just giving a mashal. But what's important, that's my drastic mashal. I think that's a clear mashal.
Just like thinking about these things that we mentioned brings the acquisition of precious, so to not thinking, foolishness of not thinking, is mafsid precious. And he says a tremendous, tremendous lesson. The hasmada bein hasorim ve'anshei hagedolos. Hasmada, spending a lot of time with noblemen and big people, doesn't mean big in Torah. It means like influential people, hanging out with the prominent and influential people. Haroitvim achar hakavod, who chase after kavod. Umarbim hahevel, and are increased, have a tremendous amount of hevel. So that's something else that brings a person to lose, to be mafsid precious. A person spends a lot of time with wealthy people, with influential people, with people that are people with big egos. When a person sees that covet and that greatness, listen to that, the strongness of the words. It's impossible. This is something that we talked about. It's impossible that the time for this type of lifestyle won't be nisayra. person knows what's right and wrong, and even if a person knows what's important and what's not important, the teva of a person is that he's drawn to what his senses see. So even if objectively, when I lock myself up in a room, objectively I know that wealth is meaningless, and let's say Torah, mitzvahs, you know, those type of accomplishments, that's what's really valuable. But my senses aren't picking up the greatness of doing a mitzvah. My senses pick up a very extravagant home, a very famous person, a very prominent person. That I pick up, that I see in front of me. And it's very, very, very moishuk, and it's a very good idea to be mamayit how much time we spend with such people. They say that the Chafetz Chaim was one of the most, obviously was, you know, the time that he was alive was, let's say, the most respected person in the generation. The whole world sittered from the Chafetz Chaim. He was from the few people, we talked about this, he was from the few people that the entire world was kafuf to him, the entire world listened to him. He was the Zaken Hadar. There was one city in Europe where they didn't give him as much kavod as in all the other cities. One city. In one city in Europe, one town in Europe, Chafetz Chaim didn't get so much kavod. And that town was Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim lived. And they asked Rabbi Chanan about this. So Rabbi Chanan said that it can take a lamp, a kerosene lamp, the way they used to have lamps, put it on the center of a table. You'll see that the lamp shines out all over. The right under the lamp is dark. It shines out. The right under the lamp is dark. He says, so too, the Chafetz Chaim is like a lamp. He shines out over the whole world. The right under the lamp is dark. He doesn't shine over there. It's a cute answer. It's interesting, but it doesn't say the pshat. Well, what's the pshat agar than a rat and he got less covered? And the pshat is this chisaron that we have. The chisaron that we have, that we're more drawn by what our senses sense than by what our mind appreciates. So the Chafetz Chaim is a short man in an oversized coat, and he wasn't tall and lichtig, and maybe the people didn't understand everything he did or every expression that he said, and maybe like every person that, you know, that's known from far and wide as being a great person, but then when you spend time with them, not every comment he says makes 100% sense to you right now. Not every way that he acts, everybody agrees with. Not every, you know, people know his cheshbonos. And more than that, they see that he's a boss of a dam. He's an old man. He probably caught colds like anybody else. And then he had a sore throat and was sneezing into his handkerchief the whole davening. You know, he probably, whatever it is, he was a regular human being, an old man, a zaydi. But that was in Radin, in Warsaw, in Krakow, in America, in Eretz Yisrael, and all the places from one side of the world to the other side of the world. They knew Mishneh Brura, they knew Chafetz Chaim, they knew Geoynes, they knew tremendous tzidkus, piercing logic, Ruach HaKodesh. But in Radin itself, they just saw an old man. They didn't see Ruach HaKodesh. He probably was on the quiet side. They didn't see Ruach HaKodesh. They saw an old man, a very short, very poor. When they went into his house, it was a dirt floor, very poor, very short, old man. That's what they saw. And as much as nowadays we think, wow, that's even more godless. And even that he had a dirt floor. That's even more tremendous godless. And it's true that it is. But it doesn't appeal to a person's senses. It doesn't appeal to us. Is true over here on the other side. You can have a person, let's say the mayor of a city, or you know, some very, very influential, wealthy, influential person, and the beautiful clothing and the very fancy glasses and the chauffeur-driven limousine and the estate and the misharsim and the kavod and the stationery and the whole staff that he has and the secrecy of his business dealings and all the things that surround, you know, such a prominent person make people hang on his every word. People hang on his every word like it's Divrei Elokim Chayim. And everything he he's saying must be so intelligent and so right. And people are malamed him all the kafsus, and they would be malamed the Chavos Chaim himself. Because it's so appealing to us. It massages our senses. It's so comfortable to look at. It's so nice. You go into his house and it's just so comfortable and great and nice. And it's like almost bribes us to love him. But what happens is then we're leaving ourselves wide open to learn every bad midah and to value everything that's unimportant. It's safe to say that you can have people that are very, very wealthy or prominent people that are not roid of covet, that are tzaddikim. They're tzaddikim and they're not vanim, askanim, tremendous people, good people, tzaddikim. And if you or I would be sitting in their house, we would get the wrong lessons. We could sit in a gevir's house and we won't walk out with the lesson of, look, a person who spent so much time and money helping Klal Yisrael. We'll walk out and say, like, imagine the paintings hanging on the walls of that house. Gorgeous kitchen. That's what we'll come out of the house. Because, again, we're bribed by our senses. So even if the person, so Yisrael is talking about a person who's roid of covet, even if the person's not a roid of covet, it could be that we're going to learn the wrong lesson from that person. Person will say, I'm strong. I'm not gonna forget the lessons. I can keep my head screwed on straight. Even if he won't allow his Yetzirah to conquer him, but he's not going to get himself out of fighting the battle. And why fight the battle? Save the battles for more important things. Why waste our energy fighting a battle? We could have avoided the whole battle. We say every morning, it's true, we want the Russian to give us whatever nisayin is necessary for us to shtag. But from our vantage point, we're mispah, loyli day nisayin. Not to put ourselves into situations where we have to battle, even if we're going to win. It's better to go to a base oval than to go to a base mishta. There's more lessons to learn, and there's more appreciation of chayim even, and appreciation of using life properly